Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and more special than the rest of us. In other words, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Welcome to episode 76, Good Night, Amateur, and my very special guest, the best-dressed comedian I know, the very funny Chris Mata. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Lou Santini. Thanks for having me.
You're always so well-dressed at shows, and I always appreciated that. And I love your comedy. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you on the
right.
show.
Well, thank you.
For those of you who don't know Chris, he's a very fit guy. I thought I was fit. Then Chris walked into my place. I'm like, well, I got to hit the gym harder.
I'm wearing ankle weights right now.
Butt clenches on my bar stool.
My kegels?
Yeah, there you go. Remind me the disciplines of martial arts that you are accomplished in.
Practiced jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing, and then we did some judo. But I'm going to say, as far as the disciplines are concerned, Taekwondo looks amazing and it looks really fun and awesome in the Olympics, but it does not work. The kicks are great. It's just not a discipline that'll work.
Okay.
At all. And like, let's say that you're fighting somebody and you need to use your Taekwondo. It's not a very peaceful, you will hurt somebody.
Okay.
You got to kick them hard. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can do.
That's we're going to change the name of this episode. You got to kick them hard. That's the name of this podcast. So, you got to kick them hard with Chris Mata.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai kickboxing, and a little bit of judo.
Two quick questions before we get started. The Karate Kid, is that real?
It's very real.
The movie.
It's taken after my life.
And who is your favorite action hero on movies?
As far as influential, I don't know the guy's name, but do you remember that movie way back? It was called Gymkhana.
I remember that.
Yeah, that guy. I was so stoked to see that.
Is that
and
right?
Then who's that guy that did The Perfect Weapon? And
it Jeff was Speakman.
Jeff Speakman. It was so ridiculous,
yeah.
His moves. I was like, that is... Yeah, so Jeff Speakman and Gymkhana.
So you're the guy you don't want to watch a martial arts movie with. Go, no, you could never do that. That would never work. I'm that way when I see radio... Because I was on the radio 11 years, and I would see a movie, and I'm like, that is not at all how radio works. That's not how a studio works. So and people are like, why do we watch movies with you like
right.
this?
I just sit with my arms crossed.
I love Jason Statham. I could watch that guy any... He's the same character in everything, just about... But I just, there's something about, I know when I watch a Jason Statham movie, here's the formula. He's going to be really calm and then just level everything in his path and then go back to calm like it never even happened.
And he's funny.
And he has a sense of humor about himself.
Yeah.
I think.
He's very aware.
Yeah, right. He is.
He could be in an action movie and you're like, don't mess with that guy.
Yeah.
Or in a comedy and you're like, I can't wait for that guy to be on.
Yeah. All right. So before we get started with the topics, as a fit guy yourself, and you go to the gym, I'm sure.
I was there this morning.
All right. So this is a true story that happened to me recently. I always talk about how the gym is one of the main habitats for amateurs. And I'm at the gym and I see a guy who always has some kind of t-shirt on or a tank top with some very alpha message. In fact, one of his t-shirts says alpha as fuck. And we got it. Another one he had, it's that famous line Denzel Washington said in Training Day. It said, King Kong ain't got shit on me, mm-hmm. which was ad-libbed, by the way. That was not written.
That's a great line.
And then he has another tank top. It says, I flexed and the sleeves fell off.
That's funny.
So you can just picture that douchey guy in your head, right? So the other day I was at the gym and on his shirt, all it said was, I can do anything. And it was in all caps. So of course, I can't leave anything alone as a comedian. And I've seen this guy. I mean, he's one of those guys, Jim, I don't know his name, but we always nod like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
And so I just pointed his shirt and I go, can you lactate? And he doesn't even pause. He goes, dude, anything. So then he fist bumps me like we're bonding.
Right.
And his workout buddy goes, bro, I don't think you know what lactate is. And he says, show me how, and I'll get it done.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy he didn't even know what
He's not going to back off from his slogan.
Right, right. He can't. So, I mean, he's going to tape a can of, evaporated milk to his chest, and he's going to, we'll get it done. I should have asked for a volunteer. I need a woman, please. Can I show him how to lactate?
If he would have put in parentheses at the bottom of his shirt.
Except lactate.
Give him a list. or the general, the broad excuse of if I wanted. Yeah. So if you were like, can you lactate? I don't want to.
Yeah, I couldn't. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's what's happening at Amateur Nation. Topic number one. Chris, right out of the gate, we have an Amateur of the Year nominee for 2020 in the category of Most Amateur Technology. So I'll read this to you, and you chime in. Here we go. It's called the Verdera Voice Mirror. I saw the commercial for this at the Super Bowl. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did, not only the second half.
Okay, yeah, that's my first Super Bowl in 4 years. Anyway, if you've ever said, man, I wish my mirror could talk to me, follow commands, and play music. Well, one, you're an amateur, and two, well, now you got your wish. Kohler, the company that makes faucets, is now in the amateur manufacturing business. This technology has apparently been around for a while, but I just saw the spot in the Super Bowl, so here we are. Now, in the commercial, we see a woman, and she walks in from the rain, and she's doing the face. She kind of looks like Maleficent from the movie. She's doing the famous line, mirror, mirror on the wall. And then she says, makeup mode. And the light adjusts to what is good lighting to do your makeup. Okay, not sure why you need voice activation or an Alexa for that when a button would get it done. But I can't be reaching for buttons all day. So whatever. Then the stupidity grows, and the woman asks the mirror to play a music playlist. And it does it. There's a speaker in the mirror. Again, I can't be reaching for stereos and Bluetooth speakers and other buttons. Then she chips a nail, and she looks at her nail and then asks the mirror, when does the nail salon open? And the mirror replies, at 9 a.m., because Google is now too slow to get information. We don't even have time for that now, amateurs. Now, the woman sees how beautiful she is. She's done her makeup, and now she goes full amateur and says, and I quote, ooh, remind me to update my profile pic. And the mirror sets a reminder for her to redo her profile picture on social media. Now, amateurs, you'll never have to leave your mirror. This is your utopia, looking at yourself while giving commands. Why didn't I create this false need that is expensive, will break, will spy on you, save your information, sell your information, and make you less connected to reality and real people? Why? Because I'm a pro. That's why. The movie The Truman Show, Jim Carrey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a reality someday. Count on it. Count on it. We're going to follow someone's going to be, you know, coming out of the birth canal, and we're going to start rolling from day one. This invasion on your privacy, the thing that could be controlled with a dimmer switch or different bulbs and does all the stuff your AI does, stuff that your phone does, your computer already does, is only $1,500 for this mirror. If you buy this, all I ask is that you email me and please give me an estimate in real minutes and hours of how much time you are really saving. The worst part is people who can't afford this are going to buy it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be in homes, built
it's
in.
It's going to be built in homes. I mean, look, I and this is where women, Lou, you don't know what it's like to do makeup. You have to have the right lighting. Yeah, I get it. They have makeup mirrors. They have makeup mirrors for that. And you can adjust a dimmer switch with your hand. And it's like, well, this one has music too. And I've got a Bluetooth here in my kitchen. I got one in my bedroom. I got one in my office.
There's going to be like his and hers mirror.
Oh.
Where the couple can look and in their own respective mirror,
right,
and get their makeup done together.
Hypothetical, you're married. There you are, your mirror. Your wife's at her mirror. You're playing a mirror, play Metallica. She's like, mirror, play Celine Dion, and you got a competing song.
That would be awesome. You know what? Yeah. And then a divorce.
Mirror, right. Mirror, find me attorneys for a divorce. I mean, we're joking, but are we wrong here?
It's totally possible.
How self-absorbed do you need to be? By definition, a mirror is, you know, look, you need to see a mirror. I understand it, ladies.
Having that sort of technology at your fingertips can create a false sense of confidence and security.
Yep.
If you've ever watched Barbara Walters on, it's always a soft lighting.
So sure.
That mirror could clearly lie to you. Like, this is what you look like. But then you go outside and you're like,
yeah,
you are caked in makeup.
Do you have AI in your house?
No.
No. I will never, ever have that because they're selling information. They're keeping track. They're spying on you.
I will tell you this, though. What? So I had an Alexa back when I was married.
Okay.
I had an Alexa. My ex-wife, we were married at the time, she had a Google Home. So I had my own profile on Pandora.
Got it.
And Pandora, it just gathers your information. It hears your conversations. It knows what's going on in your life across every platform. So I would drive and I have my Pandora on. I'd go into my house, have Pandora on, and my ads were always for cars, vacations, and I don't know, investments.
Okay.
Investment properties, right? Because apparently, I guess that's all I talk about. Oh, like, what do you invest in?
I've known you for a long time. I don't remember you talking at all about investments in cars. So,
those are the conversations I would have with the kids. We need to invest your money, whatever it is, right? And one day I get home, and she's not home, and I go into our bedroom, and Alexa was in the kitchen, so I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to play her Google Home. So I go, hey, Google, put on whatever on Pandora. And her commercials are for Match.com.
The other dating sites, eHarmony?
Or whatever. Yeah, those were her ads.
Is that how you got divorced?
6 months later, we were divorced. I heard that. I went, that is too weird that those would be her commercials that she gets. So if you have this mirror...
Describe the look on my face to people, please.
It's utter disbelief. It's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
Wow.
You are shocked by it. So if you have this mirror, you have to be a complete moron to have this mirror not only sees you naked, it hears every
conversation. Oh, you can't tell me they ain't taking photos.
You've taken a dump in front of it. It knows everything about you.
Right.
You have to be a moron.
And you're paying... $1,500 to give your life away. You're not getting a free mirror. You're paying, not $150, $1,500.
It will let your spouse know that you're cheating on you, that person.
But see, what's funny, half the audience will be shocked and appalled. They're like, that's actually a good idea. I got to find out if my husband or wife is cheating on me. I'm buying that goddamn mirror.
On, yeah, right. Yeah. Listen to those commercials. It was so true.
That's the thing about these wireless electronics, these AI devices. They are so hackable.
But they don't have to be hackable even.
They're
selling that information.
Right.
It is a very niche product. Right. Stephen Hawking could benefit.
I get it. But of course, he's dead, so he doesn't really need it as much now. So.
Right.
You know, but of course, he would have like, mirror, mirror on the wall. Please, did. Sorry.
He didn't have a tracheotomy.
I know, but I had that. As close as I could come to it. I can't do his voice.
But Lou held the, yeah. Like he had a hole in his yeah, throat that, from
had,
smoking.
Right, exactly. I had to do it. I had to recall it from my bit. Anyway, but right. So it has the, you know, play my playlist, set a reminder. I mean, all these things we're being sold this idea, like this is saving you time, not even measurable time, not even, you know, hey, I saved 2 minutes.
No, it is spoiling you. It's ruining you.
Yeah.
You are now expecting things to be done at your beck and call.
Right.
And the world outside of that mirror doesn't work like that.
This woman's getting ready to go out. Why? No one goes out anymore. Everything's food delivered. You know, shopping is Amazon.
Why would you go out if you had that mirror? You'd be like, come over and let's play with my mirror.
Disconnect. And amateurs. Topic number two. Amateurs, attention. Air travel, like peanut butter and jelly. More stories about amateurs regarding air travel than usual lately from various news sources. Here's another. A man from Canada falsely claimed he had the coronavirus on a flight from Toronto to Montego Bay, Jamaica, forcing the plane to turn around. 28-year-old James Potok, P-O-T-O-K, I'm saying his name right, I think, told Global News in Canada he was trying to go viral. This is the voice and I'm standing by this voice.
Well, I had my camera with me. I was looking to get a viral video. I was looking to get it up on all the social media platforms, Potok said.
WestJet Airlines said 243 passengers were on that flight. The plane returned to Toronto and the airline canceled two more flights that were headed to Jamaica as a result of the incident. This apparently isn't the first time Potok has tried to pull a stunt like this on an airplane. He said he flies often looking to create viral videos. I quote,
I pulled my phone out, I made a viral video and got up. I said, can I have your attention?
Everyone stopped and looked, he told Global News. As for an amateur, that gives you a boner or whatever the female equivalent is. And this guy says,
I said, Lil Wayne's new album just dropped. Everybody go get it. No problem with that. Sat back down, landed, everyone got off, no issue. Any publicity is good publicity for me.
Potok admitted that he ruined the flight for the other passengers and that what he did was wrong. He was arrested and charged with mischief and breach of recognizance, according to the report. Are you fucking kidding me? Mischief? How about possibly causing a panic? Inciting to riot, interfering with air travel. I don't know what other charges you can come up with, but mischief? Every passenger and crew member should be allowed one good punch to the face to this amateur.
Yeah, he would die. Everybody needs a chance to punch him. So we start with the weak.
I've come up with so many good podcast titles. Everyone needs a good chance to punch him. Another good one. I like that. That's the name of Chris Monta's new comedy album. Everyone deserves a good chance to punch someone.
So start with the weak and then move on to the strongest.
A 10-year-old knows you don't stand up in the middle of a plane and cause a panic.
It wouldn't even enter their brain
right.
to do that.
Amen. Exactly right. This guy, they didn't say how old he was. I saw the pictures. He's 25. So like, that's what I mean. Who knows?
Because it's all about him. Hey, yeah. I need a TikTok video. I'm going to land this plane.
Stupid. What did he think was going to happen? They go, oh, sit down, you. The coronavirus at the time of this recording has killed well over 800 people.
Right.
It's serious business.
It is.
You know, since it was going to Jamaica, some of those people were going to a honeymoon.
Right.
Hypothetical. Let's play it the other way. What if one passenger on that flight was going to Jamaica to attend a funeral of a loved one, and now he can't go because of this jack meat?
Right.
I mean, you don't get that time back.
Potok cannot fly anymore because he's
Oh, he's got to be on the do not fly list now, right?
Put him on an Amtrak. Each one of those 243 people have lives to things that they're going to do. Like you said, maybe one's on a funeral on their way to.
Yeah.
Maybe one has a meeting. They're on their lovely vacation, their honeymoon.
Yeah.
I have to see my dad before he passes away.
Right.
I need to get to this thing before the deadline.
Yeah, people aren't flying for fun. Right. They all have things they got to get
and
done.
And then this guy's like, hey, I have the coronavirus. That's ridiculous.
As a judge, I'd say, and by the way, I need a list of the manifest of that flight. Every person on this flight gets to sue him. You're on the no-fly list for 5 years, and you owe everyone on that flight the cost of their ticket at minimum.
Yeah.
At minimum.
And get your face ready, because it's going to get punched.
Yeah. You better get good liquored up, because you're about to...
Air Marshal. There's one on every
right.
flight.
Yeah, really? Where was the Air Marshal on this?
Yeah, where?
The one time he's in the bathroom. He's like, right. I step away for 5 seconds to take a piss.
You had one job. I just have to take a piss.
Oh, man. If I saw that, I'd be like, I will help you, Air Marshal. So, I will help you choke this guy out. He owes people money.
He owes people something they can't get back.
Amen. Topic number three. Did you know, Chris, if you don't like something an amateur likes, you're automatically racist?
I knew that.
Yeah, okay, good. Now, Chris, what is your heritage?
I am Mexican. However, I just learned recently that from my mom's side, we're mostly Native American.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a true, real-life example that happened to me of how an amateur that I know connected the dots. So for the first time in 4 years, I watched the Super Bowl, right? Did you see the halftime show with Shakira and J-Lo?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, I love Shakira. She is sexy. And she's a metal fan like me.
Oh.
I love Latin women. 7 out of my last 10 girlfriends were Latina. I'm a big fan of Shakira. She's the real deal. She sings, she dances, she plays instruments, she writes her own music, and from what I hear, loves metal. J-Lo, on the other hand, I don't get. I don't have a beef with her personally, although I've heard my stories about her abuse towards others and her sense of entitlement and her abuse of her ex-husband, Mark Anthony. I've heard firsthand accounts.
Oh, okay.
Again, I have no proof, whatever. I don't care. That's not the issue here. Please stay with me. But the woman simply cannot sing. It's all auto-tuned. It's all in the production booth. And even if it wasn't, I'm just saying, her pop music that frankly is not made for my demo is not my thing. Harmless, right? I just don't like her that much. As a joke, since Pepsi sponsored the halftime show, I posted on Facebook, quote, "Thank you, Pepsi, for reminding me how crappy J-Lo's music is." And Pepsi. Right? And I also have an old bit about how Pepsi should just give up and will always be number two to Coke. It's one of the first bits I ever wrote.
All right.
I haven't done it for a long time. Now, look, I don't expect everyone to agree with me. It's subjective, in my opinion. I just don't like J-Lo's music. You can call me stupid or tell me I'm wrong and sell me on how great her music is. But here's what amateurs do. They connect the dots somehow, and I got called racist and Hitler by a fellow, well, this person calls themselves a comedian. And that is amateur. So here's a warning, pros. Make sure you like and agree with everything that amateurs believe in, like, or post, or else you will be labeled. After 26 people agreed with me in a short time that her music sucked and that Shakira is the real deal, this amateur, who will remain nameless, because why would I want this person to get even more undeserved attention, said, somehow went off the rails, and I quote, said, "Everyone knows that critics and the Academy are hella racist. That's why Oscars so white is a hashtag. People bitching about J-Lo and Shakira are just low-key a tiny bit racist."
Okay.
Yeah, this is supposed, and by let me just, time to dissect, and I'm going to give you some bullet points, and you can comment after each one. A, first of all, my post said, "Thank you, Pepsi, for reminding me that J-Lo's music sucked," and also Pepsi. If you're on my wall commenting on something I post, you got to stay on topic. The post jokingly mentioned J-Lo's music and Pepsi. Didn't say anything about Latin people, Latinas, Latin music, her music. B, everyone knows that critics in the Academy are, quote, hella racist. Does everyone know that, really? Knows? I need some proof, please. Last time I checked, Parasite just got Best Picture, which is a Korean film. Didn't deserve it, but more on that later. Good movie, not Best Picture. C, all critics are racists? All critics now. Movie critics, TV critics, music. Apparently now, according to this comedian, they're all racist. Someone should have told that to Siskel and Ebert, I guess, when they were around. D, I stand by this. Every movie J-Lo has been in has either been critically panned or made no money, save for the movie Out of Sight, but that's because George Clooney was the star and Steven Soderbergh directed it, and she was window dressing. Now, there's this new movie out called Hustler, or Hustlers.
Yeah.
I have not yet seen it, so I can't count that one. I could be wrong. Maybe she's good in that.
Well, it wasn't nominated.
Wasn't nominated. No. Well, it's because everyone's racist. E, if you put any real stock into a hashtag, this comedian said Oscar's so, that's why Oscar's so white is a hashtag. If folks, pro or amateur, if you put any stock into a hashtag, meaning that's your source of news or truth, you're beyond amateur and completely ignorant.
Yeah, I totally agree
it's
with
like,
that.
Where'd you get your facts? Oh, I saw it in a hashtag. Oh, well, it must be true. You might as well go in the bathroom wall and check a stall for your news. Am I wrong? Chris Mata's a racist. How do you know? I saw it written on a bathroom wall. Oh, well, it's all proof I need. Was it in a hashtag too? Yeah. Oh, well then definitely. Are you fucking kidding me? F. So if you don't like Shakira's music or J-Lo's or any artist of any color, you're apparently racist against that color. Everyone got that, pros? Make sure you write that down. And finally, G, the tough part is knowing what to like. Luckily, loudmouth amateurs will always tell you when you're right or wrong, what to like, what not to like. Thank God for amateurs.
I don't even
What is your favorite type of music? Do you have a type of music you like?
I like ska. I like ska.
Okay.
I like rockabilly.
Oh, you like? Yeah. You ever seen, seen or heard the Reverend Horton Heat?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're so fun live.
I love that name.
You gotta go.
He's a reverend.
Yeah. My point is, you like ska. Now, I'm not even saying ska and that type of music, but what, do you have a favorite ska artist?
The Boss Tones?
Yeah,
of course.
Now, if someone says, Chris, I don't like the Boss Tones, do you call them racist? So now, all of a sudden, you're racist if you don't like Boss Tones. Did you know that, Chris?
I did know that.
Okay. Well, see, I never got that email.
I'm quick to understand these things.
I mean, hypothetical. Again, I'm using that as an example. If I just said, I don't like the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, right. Somehow now I'm racist.
You're clearly racist.
Right. And I didn't even say, I don't like ska, which even if I said that, doesn't make me... I like a wide variety of music.
It says a lot about that person to put their worldview into this whatever...
As fact.
This other person's opinion.
Right.
It doesn't make it gospel. And why hate on Lou because he didn't like Pepsi or J-Lo?
Right.
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 Why does that make you a racist to that person?
I know.
Because it's something going on inside them.
Right.
They're like, I must like everything that is a minority ethnicity.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peek into their psyche. They're the ones who are actually racist.
Yeah.
You're just able to live your life, and perhaps they don't like that about other people, that they're so free.
Right.
When their prison is their own racism.
Yeah. And I just, that blew my mind that not only did that stupidity come from anybody, but another comedian. By definition, comedians, we're trained to be more open-minded and accept. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying all comedians are liberal and accept everybody. I'm not saying that. But by definition, we need to, at the very least, if Chris and I disagree on a movie, a song, an artist, a style of music or art, you know, we're still friends and we can still like, all right, you don't like that. All right, fine. I won't ask you to come to the Boss Tones concert with me. You know, I'm seriously right. Though, it's like, you're not going to, it's like, well, why just stop being friends with them? Oh, well, because he doesn't like the music.
Tones, right.
He doesn't like Boss Tones. Can't be friends with someone who doesn't like that. You know, the idea that, and this show, again, will never, ever, ever be about politics, religion, those big hot button issues and stuff. But the idea that you just discount someone altogether and then you can label them and call yourself enlightened and woke and all this other crap that we're hearing. But it only works if you agree with the amateurs.
Right.
Only with them.
They are the only ones who will pull out that argument.
Right.
They will find something about your opinion, make it racist, and then be like, you cannot agree with Lou because he's a racist.
Right.
You can only agree with my opinion
right.
because I'm not racist.
Right.
And all I'm doing is calling out a racist.
Yeah. But I mean, I got called racist and also Hitler. So let me go on here and you chime in. I made the mistake of trying to reason with this person without name calling. I did not call this person a name until I finally called this person an amateur. And then I just blocked this person from all my social media.
Good move.
Right.
Good move.
The very idea that anyone of any race, age, sexual orientation, political affiliation can perpetuate the notion that if you don't like an artist or entertainer, musical, theatrical, sports figure, etc., you're automatically racist against an entire nation is the most laughable thing I've heard. And in this case, this person calling themselves as a comedian is the funniest thing they've ever said. But the amateur status doesn't stop there. This person, as I said, calls themselves a comedian. Comedians, true comedians, by definition, need to be okay with not always hearing what they want to hear, because they fight daily for the right to say what they want to say. Can't have it both ways. Let's not forget the amateur act of hiding behind a keyboard on social media. Let's not forget the fact that I stated cogent, logical reasons and explanations for my benign statement and brief, funny post that was a slam against one musical artist's music and a soft drink. Not women, not a nation of people, not even a slam against a genre of music. There's plenty of pop music I like, just not hers. Now, I don't do this topic to explain myself because I owe this amateur no explanation, and their whole mental process is a joke, and they have a reputation for being off the rails. I do this to do what I always do and vowed to do from day one on this podcast and my book, to call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills and are disturbing the flow of the prose. Now, one last thing. Amateurs, listen carefully, like especially even the guy on the plane who said he had the coronavirus. You amateurs need to be careful about what you put in print and what you say, especially on social media. To carelessly label someone a racist and call them Hitler is dangerously close to libel and or slander. Mm. And know this, if you're listening, amateurs, especially the one who pulled this stunt, if my career, my livelihood, my income, and thus my ability to take care of my family is affected, you better lawyer up, because I have a zero tolerance policy on having my professional and personal reputation tarnished, and that is one that is without blemish. You'd think as a professional comedian that that person would be more careful with their words. Now, I have a section in my book called The 30 Truths About Amateurs. Here are some that apply. Number one, amateurs seek constant attention. Number four, amateurs want what they want, how they want it, and when they want it.
That's that mirror.
Yep. Yeah. Number seven, amateurs accuse first and ask no questions later. Number 14, amateurs believe social media is truth in the real world. Mm-hmm. Number 23, amateurs are loud. Number 27, amateurs are bored. So remember, pros, if you want to be liked by amateurs, why would you? Just make sure you like everything they like. Don't worry. They'll tell you what that is when they feel like it.
I got to ask.
Yeah.
Did you, when you saw his reply, right? You tweeted it? Is that's correct?
It was on Facebook.
It was on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah. On my wall.
Right. So he's visiting your wall.
Yes.
When you read his comment, did you immediately think, what?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I let it sit there for a second, like, this person, I didn't say he was male. This person is joking, right? But it's hard. Sometimes meaning is lost via text.
The nuances of...
Right. Of all, yeah. But there was no, you know, smile face or a wink or any of that kind of crap, too. But I guess what jumped out at me is, like, I got called racist right out of the gate. I have a zero tolerance. And plus, this is my wall, my rules. You know, you do what you want on your own wall. I mean, don't slander, don't mention my name and call me racist and Hitler on your own wall either. Because I studied mass media law in college. That's called slander.
Yeah.
You can get fined and you can do time for that kind of stuff if I can prove you tarnished my reputation.
Yeah.
If I don't get hired at other comedy clubs because, like, we don't want this guy in here, he's a racist. Better lawyer up, chief.
Yep.
Better lawyer up, because you will lose. We got it in print. I got a screenshot. That shit's on there for life.
Wow. I just, the fact that she was so affected by that and that she was, I don't know, was in her brain to go, I have to let him know how racist that is.
Right.
Like, she had to have that belief.
Right.
How do you handle yourself all day long with that, those sorts of thoughts that go on through your brain?
Yeah.
Every interaction you have, this person must be like label after label after label.
I know. I had three friends over here for the Super Bowl, just a very small gathering, whatever. And they were like, oh, this is awful. And what's funny is I had like 26 people like, oh, that was horrible, horrible music. Dancing was great. And I think, you know, I watched Shakira, you know, dance and be sexy all day long.
She was on the pole, right?
So yeah.
She was the one.
Yeah.
Did you notice that she was the one that also said buenas noches at the end of the, right?
I think I might have been getting a beer or something.
She said, that was her, but the point is, she was the one who spoke Spanish, not J-Lo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't have a problem. People are like, oh, why are we having Latin performers on the halftime show? I'm like, why are we having a halftime show? I just, I think the halftime show is literally my chance. Like, I'm going to use a bathroom. I'm going to go get a beer. I'm going to get some
cheerleaders
food.
Cheerleaders were watching that going, I'm doing that the entire game.
No, I hear you. Well, this amateur's like, well, if I can label this Lou Santini as a racist because he doesn't like J-Lo's horrible pop music that is auto-tuned and that she cannot sing on. Had to get that dig in there. It's like, well, then if I get a bunch of people agreeing with me, that means I'm right. And I'm like, just because you get a bunch of other, that just tells me, wow, there's 30 more other amateurs
trying to ride on your coattails or trying to get people to not like you.
Yeah. Which I'm like, what a waste of time. I'm like, I know this person, but not that well. Why would you waste your time?
Oh, I hate it when people that you don't even know well, you don't even know they're watching you or looking at your
right.
stuff all of a sudden out of nowhere.
It's like, you go police your own little pathetic
life.
They
were waiting for you to mess up. I can't wait for this guy to mess up.
Well, the thing is, though, I didn't mess up. Time now for 60 seconds, some random neural firing. Start the timer, please. The 2020 Grammys were the lowest rated in history. That tells me a few things. Either music is worse than ever, people are tired of hearing rich and famous people, and often untalented people tell us what to think, how to vote, and what to believe while listening to their incessant bumper sticker spirituality, or a combination of all those. How to catch a cold. Step 1, bring your phone to the gym while you work out. Step 2, with the same hands that touch the equipment that everyone else has touched and boogered up, touch your phone a lot. Step 3, put your phone to your face to talk. Step 4, touch your phone to text. Congratulations, you have a cold. People, I don't know why I'm so sick. I'm like, everyone's on their phone texting. It's like, hey, make fun of me. I spray my phone with Lysol about once or twice a week, as many times as I can remember.
I'm just going to throw this. Germs are around us all the
time. Sure.
So at any moment in time, if our immune system is low, we're going to get sick.
Yep.
So it's something about these people and their diet and what's going on, stress related.
Right.
Because touching anything, it's in the air. We don't have to touch anything.
Right.
We get sick.
Right. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. From a website called thegoodmenproject.com. I think you'd like this website. There's an article called If You Think of Yourself as Flexible, You Will Do Much Better in Life. Before I go into this article, I just want to say this. As someone who went through some of the most traumatic personal, emotional, financial, professional, and physical times all at once about 2.5 years ago and went through about 8 months of therapy, something I should have done 20 years ago, I've made significant changes in how I see the world, people, and most importantly, myself. How I handle stress and disappointment, potential dates and relationships, friendships that simply weren't serving me, and also ways to approach my career endeavors. All this change really helped. Now, I can be one stubborn son of a bitch, but here's a great article that simply says what we already know, but sometimes you need to hear the same thing you already know differently.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's something you didn't consider, and I'll paraphrase here, and you can chime in anytime, Chris. The article says, many people view their habits, traits, and characteristics as permanent. If you view your personality as mutable instead of permanent, you're inclined to work on it and improve in your life and career. There's a Stanford psychologist by the name of Lee Ross who says that people with permanent mindsets react to information differently. They easily get discouraged by setbacks because an obstacle dents their beliefs and their abilities. They tend to become uninterested and give up.
So what they're saying is if you are closed-minded, you're going to have challenges.
Right.
Of course.
But it goes on. He says the root cause of frustration, irritation, anger, and sadness is an inflexible mind, one that wants to hold on to the way we wish things were, the ideas we're comfortable with. And I actually know someone like that. I think we all do. Someone who just, that guy, that girl, they haven't grown.
Right.
They haven't changed how they go about their job, their friendships, their career, their lives.
Is that from that, remember the movie Escape from L.A.?
Yeah.
Escape from New York? I forget which one.
The first one was New York with
right.
Kurt Russell.
So, but the saying is, Kurt Russell would say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Do you
right.
remember that?
Yeah.
So these people are the same, everything else is changing around them. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
So the more things are changing, the more they've stayed the same. And
right.
It's
crippling you.
Very obvious.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they always say the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting
right,
different
right.
results. Now, in his book, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body and the Healing of Trauma, I'm just going to say this guy's name, Bessel van der Kolk, MD, explains that traumatic experience...
that's James Vanderbeek.
Yeah. I really typoed that wrong. He explains that traumatic experiences can freeze a person's personality. For example, if you experience pain, anxiety, and traumatic stress at an early age, you'll have a difficult time disassociating yourself from that experience. This can easily become the only way of life you know. Defining yourself by your past attitudes can damage your potential to grow. He says life would be better if you didn't think of you as a fixed concept. Spare a thought for what you would like to change about yourself. This is stuff we already knew.
Right.
Sometimes you need to hear it again at a different time in your life by these are people you and I don't know personally. They're not, they don't have a horse in this race. They're unbiased and they're doctors and they understand that. Sometimes you just need to hear things differently to shake you loose a little
or
bit.
Or again.
Number two. Escape Dannemora, originally on Showtime. Do you see that miniseries?
Who was in it?
Patricia Arquette and Paul Dano.
But I did see the billboards.
You can, well, then let's just move on. Did you see the hashtag? do you have Amazon Prime?
I do not.
I was saying, because you can get it for free now on Amazon Prime. So I watched this great miniseries. I want to say like a 7-parter. It's on Amazon, directed by Emmy winner Ben Stiller. Who actually wound up winning a Director's Guild Award for this. I gravitate towards true story movies or miniseries. So it's based on the true story about the small sleepy town of Dannemora in upstate New York. And it's the home to the Clinton Correctional Facility, a maximum security prison. There's two inmates, Richard Matt and David Sweat, his real name. They become entangled in the life of a married female prison employee in the summer of 2015. Tilly Mitchell, an employee at Clinton Correctional Facility, becomes romantically entangled with both convicts and aids in their escape from the facility.
This is awesome.
They have, you know how like a lot of prisoners have those work programs?
Right.
So they're in a sewing shop. So they got like 50 prisoners are all working. So they're making pants and shirts and stuff for 37 cents a day. And she's in charge of making sure they do their job properly. She's married to another guy who works at the prison.
She's married to a prison guard.
A guard, right? I don't know if he's a guard. They go to work together.
A couple that works together.
Yeah, that's
stick together.
Yeah, that, or the other way. Don't shit where you eat. I don't know which rule applies. Anyway, she falls in love, but she's just basically having sex with two of the prisoners there.
That's crazy.
And this happened in 2015, and she helped them escape.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, it stars Patricia Arquette, who snagged Golden Globe, Critics' Choice, and a SAG Award, and she gained 40 pounds for the role. Paul Dano won a Best Supporting Golden Globe. Benicio del Toro, where once again, I can barely understand what this... I can never understand what Benicio del Toro says. And he's speaking English. Yeah, maybe I'm racist. Maybe that's what it is. And Eric Lang, who played Patricia Arquette's husband, he was unrecognizable. I was like halfway through the second episode, I'm like, holy shit, that's him. He has such a character actor.
Okay.
Escape of Dannemora. It's funny. What's funny too is you're watching this. It's funny how you root for inmates to escape prison. These were murderers.
Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. You're hoping.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah. I mean, at least Timothy, what's his face? He was actually innocent. I mean, he was falsely imprisoned, and you're rooting for him to escape.
There was a movie out called Mustang.
That one I don't know.
It's new or low key or whatever.
Okay.
There was a screening of it. That's all about escaping prison.
Is that right?
But for an animal. I'm not making that up.
Real? Oh, yep. I see.
It's really good. It's really good.
All right. I trust you. I'll take recommendations. All right. Number three. All right. So we're going to do 20 random questions. Stream of consciousness.
All right.
Try not to think.
I don't know what's going to be asked.
You do not know. No, I would never tell you. All right. So here we go. We got 20. Here you go. You have 1 month. And $50,000, you got to spend all 50 grand in that 30 days. Where do you go? What do you do?
Oh, I pay off my kids' college.
That was the least sexy answer I've ever heard. I was waiting to hear about, so I had this orgy and I get Selma Hayek and there's liquor and strippers and I rent a Lamborghini for the day.
Yep.
You were the most practical-minded comedian. You were ruining the reputation of every comic of being this reckless, drug-addicted party animal.
Man, well,
I knew I liked you, Chris. Right. You're just such a responsible guy.
Now, spending, does that mean I can invest it? Because it's no longer... Well, then I invest half of that. Then.
Okay, 25 grand to college, right, 25 go to investments. And you still have, you still can't go to Burger King, get a burger because you've spent all 50 grand. If I ever left money to you in my will, I'd like, and tell the attorney, like, make sure he doesn't spend it on something responsible. I want to see this guy like with some gold teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to bling my face.
Yeah, bling your face. Yeah. If your house was on fire and you could save only one inanimate object, no pets, no people, what would it be?
Oh, my computer, my laptop.
Okay. I'm assuming that's where your family photos are on, or you got a lot of porn on there. You can't risk being found by the fire marshal.
It's my diary that I write in every night.
I like you didn't say, the family photos of my son. Nope, just the laptop.
So I got all my scripts on it.
Good.
Yep.
If you could have any one superhuman power, what would it be?
I think it would be the ability to make people see their God self, like find out what is their passion, and then they go do it.
Who are you? You're like the nicest. You need to be a humanitarian. You need to make $1 trillion, be like a Warren Buffett, just start right. donating money. You're giving, paying off your kids' college. You're not doing anything reckless. You want people to see their truths. You have the suit. I'm like, oh, I would be invisible and I'd be spying on people. John Huckabee's like, I'm going to be flight. Adam Grotman comes in. He wants to be a bear. I'm like, you come in there and you're like, I want to help people see their true selves. I'm like, son of a bitch.
That realization of who they are, it could be that they are evil. Like
That would serve you. Like, oh, now right. I know what you really mean about.
Right.
Oh,
but if it's in a benevolent way, then they've gone on to have the confidence that they need. They see it.
Oh, so you're helping them see their true selves, not exposing their true selves to you.
No. Yeah. It's
so you're just using all your superhuman powers for the benefit of others. Yeah. Run for president. I'll vote for you.
Okay. Very good.
What's the worst job you ever had?
Oh, Uber.
Wow. You didn't even pause.
Yeah, that is.
How long did you do that?
Ooh, 2 years.
I don't want anyone in my car that I don't know.
People are nice. However, I would see myself as a dad, right?
Sure.
I'm a comedian, but more, I think my main hat is dad. That's how I see it.
Right.
So people would think you're a taxi. And I remember this one lady getting in and she's like, I thought I would get a professional to drive me. And I was like, I told her this. It was like, curb your enthusiasm because I'm just a dad who drives.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
What are you supposed to have? Like racing gloves with the knuckles cut out and one of those leather hats?
The transporter, Jason Statham.
Ford versus... Yeah!
I'll get you there. Yeah.
Don't open the package. You roll up in this jet black murdered out Audi A8 Turbo RS. Like, yeah, I'm an Uber guy with a $130,000 Audi.
That description, jet black murdered out.
Oh, well, yeah. Murdered out means all black. No chrome. I'm a car guy. I'm a hot man. I'm wearing my NHRA hat now. I just went to the drag races last weekend.
It would be murdered out.
Oh, my God.
I hated that.
What's the worst stand-up gig you ever had? Could be a crowd, could be a bad club. You don't have to name a club or anything.
There was one club.
Like, what happened?
One club. It's the end of the week. Very low pay for the middle spot. This
sure.
is back. I was still living in Texas then.
I just assume it's very low pay if this happened yesterday. This could be pretty much any club anywhere.
Actually, it was tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. It's the future, and I'm going to get a preemptive shitty paycheck.
So at the end of the week, he gives me the pay, and then I go, hey, can I get a ride to the airport tomorrow? Something like, no, you're not going to get a ride to the airport. And I go, oh, come on. Can I? It's right down. It's like
sure.
$10 or whatever. And I go, you know how much I'm getting paid? Why would you? And he goes, it was like he was triggered immediately. He goes, you knew how much you were getting paid the moment you took this gig. Don't ever throw that in my face.
Yeah, but you also assumed that you would have the courtesy of being returned to the airport.
I really did think that.
Thanks for the show. You're homeless now.
So I go, and he goes, just be thankful we're not taking 10% of your sales, your merchandise sales.
Yeah, that's a bullshit move. That one casino did that to me way back when. I'm like, and explain to me how you're entitled to 10% of dick.
Right. And I, so at the end of the night, by the end, it had all been said and done. He pulls me into his office because I was like, I just want to ride to the airport.
Did you tell him you could choke him out and you slice his face off?
No,
or anything like that?
I was much bigger then, 50 pounds heavier than I am.
Wow.
I was just like giant. And he takes me into the office and he has to call the other manager in and he wants the other manager in there so that he can yell at me and so that there's a witness.
Cover his ass.
Right. So he's yelling at me. And I finally and he goes, no, what do you have to say to that smart guy or whatever? And I was like, I just want to ride to the airport. Kicks me out of the club, calls up the condo and the headliner and I had to share and the host. It was one of those things. And he calls me at the condo. And he goes, hey, I'm not sure about letting you stay in the condo tonight because of the conversation we had. We don't want you to mess it up. And I was like, have you seen this place? There's nothing I can do to hung up. And then the headliner gave me a ride to the airport. But that is by far the most unprofessional club I'd ever, and I'm, of course, banned.
Right? What special talent / trick do you have or can you do?
Like, I can, you know, the matchbook, if you have a matchbook, I can light a match in one hand.
Oh, like, no kidding. And you don't even smoke though, do you?
No.
If you could spend 24 hours inside someone else's body, who would it be and what would you do? Could be someone famous, could be someone,
Now, how am I in their body? Cause it'd be Shakira at this moment. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'd be in that dude's body.
Really?
He was Mr. Olympia. That dude.
Oh, so back then, not present day.
Yeah. No.
What an odd choice.
No, I'm governor.
Yeah.
Governor days.
Pre having sex with that gross maid.
We're talking. You know, the statistic is that people always cheat with somebody uglier than the person that they're with.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it would be.
Because the ugly people do more stuff. What kind of animal would you like to be?
Blue whale.
Wow, that no pause, very not only whale, but you're specific on the
blue whale,
the breed,
largest animal
ever lived on the face of the earth,
whether it was dinosaur, anything.
That's it.
Yep.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Could be physical, could be a personality trait. Look at Mr. Perfect here. Can't think of anything he wants to change.
No, there were too many. I have this thing where when I get nervous, I will start to pull my hair out. And
really?
I would want to stop that. Yeah.
All right. Did not know that about you. What's the stupidest gift you ever got?
Oh, one of my friends gave me tits.
Huh?
It's like a stress ball.
Uh-huh.
But it looks
shaped
like a
boobs.
Tit and with a nipple on it.
I'm just going to cut out that part. Said my friend gave me tits, and I'm just going to post that so it's completely out of context. What's the difference between dating, seeing each other, and going together?
Seeing each other is you have not had the conversation of being exclusive. And if you're dating somebody, that is like one step over just kind of, right? Isn't that?
I'm asking you, it's your opinion.
You're saying seeing and
so
dating.
So which
right?
is more serious, seeing each other or dating?
I think they're synonymous.
Okay. Actually,
this is a great question because that therein lies a problem. It's semantics.
Yes.
So it's one person thinks seeing each other means that we're exclusive. And to the other person, it just means like, yeah, I see you when I see you.
Yeah. Which always makes the other person better. Yeah, I'll see you when I see you. Get the fuck away from me. Whatever, wherever you are, I'll see you there.
We're moment to moment. I'm choosing to be with you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once we have sex, we're a thing.
Yes or no? Is it possible for a man and woman to be close friends without getting romantic?
No.
See, didn't even get. I knew your answer as soon as I said it. Do you believe in love at first sight?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened to you, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
What's the most romantic movie you've ever seen?
Can I have two?
Sure.
Because it would be Gross Point Blank.
All right.
And then Good Will Hunting.
What's the best thing about being single, and what's the best thing about being married?
Best thing about being single, there's no drama. And then the benefit of being married is having somebody there that you know you can rely on. Like at 3 a.m., I mean, that could also be a friend, but somebody that knows you intimately, somebody knows when something's wrong and you're sitting across from them. It's that body language that they're like, it's off. Tell me what's happening with you.
What would you rather have, more time or money?
More time.
Yeah, no one's ever said money yet. No one said money yet. Who would you cast as yourself in a movie about your life?
I was going to say Ralph Macchio. I have no idea why.
Karate Kid.
It's probably the Karate Kid. Yeah, yeah.
If you were to change your name, what would it be?
In high school, I had this friend named Omar. Funny guy. Funny guy. Really big, tough guy, too. And we were sitting in class one day, and we were coming up with, like, tough Italian names or whatever so that we could give it to whoever whenever we saw somebody. And he came up with Alonzo Beneducci.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And I was like, that is the best name.
That's a tough one. If stranded on an island, what food would you miss the most?
It would be a mixed green salad with like cranberries and olives.
Are you fucking with me right
chicken.
Now?
No. What?
Really?
It's all the nutrients you need. You get.
I'm changing this podcast episode to Chris Mata, the most responsible, clear-headed, donates his money to charity, pays off his kid's loan. His food that he misses a salad. How are you not like running for president or a reverend?
I'll tell you this.
You could lead a cult.
Well, get ready to take your shoes off because I was the president of a college at one point, and I've learned that I'm a Boy Scout.
Well, Chris, you are a joy. Now, before we go, plug all your social media. If you got a website, you got shows coming up, lay it on us.
I do have a website, and on that website, you can find the YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. So you go to chrismata.com.
Spell it for them. They may not know how you spell your name.
chrismata.com.
Got it.
That's it. That's all you need to know. And it has all the information you need, scripts that I've written, short stories, videos on YouTube. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Lou has a YouTube channel. YouTube has this thing where you have to have 1,000 subscribers now in order to make money from it.
Right.
I'm up to like 700 and something. Before it wasn't like that. So yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go to the website. And
it was a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, thank you, Lou.
That was a lot of fun. So we got 12 different platforms to hear this podcast. So if you have a friend who would dig my valid.
Can I do one more?
No.
I'm sorry.
If it. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a podcast.
Oh, it's called, duh. Yeah, plug it.
It's called What's a Mata. And I never have any guests on.
You know, that's racist. I'm Italian.
we're sponsored by Pepsi.
I love good callback.
It's all me, and it's not a comedy podcast. It's
okay.
All about me, the hardships that I've gone through, what it was like for me when I did, when I've done some stupid stuff. So it's all about making mistakes and then finding out what came of those mistakes and what could be learned from it, what wasn't learned from it. And then on occasion, I'll do like a conspiracy theory because I think those are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll talk about politics, but in the way that the segment is called Political Ideological Spectrum.
Okay.
So I'll take the Republican, the extreme Republican take, and then the extreme Democrat take. And then I'll find the middle. Like, what is the disconnect? So I'll go to polarizing websites.
Oh, I see.
And so it's very fair.
I get my news from hashtags.
That way it clears out anything else that you don't care about.
Right. It's supposition. So, mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to close the show. Anything else, Chatty Cathy? No, I'm just busting your balls. No, I'm glad you mentioned
that. The balls on Alonzo Benedetti.
Yeah. 12 different podcast platforms to hear this show, so if you have a friend who would dig my valid hilarity and hilarious validity, and they don't listen using the same platform as you, spread the gospel. You can start them off by sending them to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, or send them to luciantini.com. Yep, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can email me on any of those. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. See you next week.